Today, we close out our two-part study on the subject of the sovereignty of Christ as we examine our two final points. And they are, because Christ is sovereign, we can face our fears, and because Christ is sovereign, he deserves our worship. Now, this study has been designed to be a practical examination of the sovereignty of Christ as it relates to the storms of life that we encounter in our human existence. From this passage, we can learn things that can help us overcome these storms instead of being controlled or dominated by them. So if you're having problems in life and need some direction, then we invite you to study with us from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. But first, let's be encouraged by this gospel song called Traveler Haste, taken from previously unpublished lyrics by Fanny J. Crosby. This is from the CD called Hallelujah.
Ain't boding for thy soul. From a wild and trackless desert, hear the distant thunders roll. Traveler, haste, no time to linger. Back would burn thy weary eyes. Haste to gain the rock of ages, where thy only refuge lies. The storm approaches, mercy calls, her voice obey. Angels' hands from heaven are waving, wilt thy heedless still delay? Traveler, haste, no time to linger, back return thy weary eyes. Haste to gain the rock of ages, where thy only refuge lies. So tender, gave his life upon the tree. He is waiting, he is pleading. In his arms there's room for thee. Traveler, haste, no time to linger. Back will turn thy weary eyes. Haste to gain the rock of ages, where thy only refuge lies.
Last week, we began a two-part study taken from Mark's Gospel on the sovereignty of Christ. Now, initially, the context in which this sovereignty is demonstrated involves Jesus' control over the forces of nature, or more specifically, the wind and the waves of a storm on the Sea of Galilee that threatens the very existence of his disciples. Now, this display of sovereign power confirmed Christ's deity, the fact that he is the eternal Son of God, as well as confirming his power as God. And from this, we developed our basic theme that because Jesus Christ is sovereign, we can face the unknown. And this was the basic point that we examined last week. Now today, we're going to look at our second and third points, and that is because Christ is sovereign, we can face our fears, that is, the objects of our challenge or the objects of our own personal storms of life. And finally, because Christ is sovereign, he deserves our worship. Now today, we're going to begin by looking at point number two, but first, let's read from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Beginning with verse 35, we have recorded these words. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, our second point for today focuses on the fact that because Jesus Christ is sovereign, we can face our fears. That is, what brings us to a point of fear or desperation. Now, normally, this is the object of our challenge that we are facing at any given moment, or again, what we have called our own storm of life. Now, picking up a point that we closed with last week, remember that fear is not the major issue. Rather, it's what we do about our fears through Jesus Christ. Do we allow ourselves to be dominated by external circumstances, or are we going to be comforted and led by the peace of Jesus Christ? You see, not only can we face the unknown in a sense of confidence because Jesus Christ is in control over everything that affects our life, we can also face our fears because Jesus has the power to overcome our fears as well. Now, I want you to notice verse 38, where it says, "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Now, during this violent storm, Jesus was sleeping peacefully in the back of the boat. Next, this verse teaches us that the disciples wake Jesus up and ask him a very serious question. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" One commentator describes this as being a rather stupid question. Another commentator states that it was a perfectly natural question in a state of panic. And the same writer goes on to say how these disciples were trying desperately to communicate their panic to Jesus. You see, they believe that what caused them to panic should also cause him to panic as well. Well, the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ does not share in our fear. Now, he understands our fears, he understands our frailty, and perhaps in a certain sense he even feels for us when we are genuinely afraid. But he himself is not fearful because he is God. So instead of trying so desperately to communicate our panic and fear to Christ, we need to be open and receptive to him, so that he can communicate the presence of his peace and strength to us. But perhaps the true nature of this question lies in another question, and that is this truly a question or a thinly veiled accusation? And we might say this for the simple reason that our fears can easily turn into anger. Fear has a very natural dark side to it, and that is explosive anger, unbridled accusations. And so maybe what they were really saying is that you don't care if we drown. And if this is true, this was a direct attack on the compassion of Christ himself. Now, regarding this approach, Dr. R.C. Sproul describes how this attitude is consistent with mankind's customary attitude towards God. In his book, The Holiness of God, he writes, "God has to listen to complaints like these from an ungrateful humanity every day. Heaven is bombarded with the repeated charges of angry men. God is called unloving, cruel, aloof, as if he has not done enough to prove his compassion for us. And of course, ultimately, the greatness of this compassion is seen in the giving of his only son in the horrible death on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood for the sins of his people. Now, in these circumstances of fear, Christ is there to communicate his strength and peace to us. So, by faith, we can and we must overcome. We must learn to recognize and to respond to his love and to his provisions for us. Because in moments like these, Christ is there to demonstrate the sufficiency of his grace to meet every need, to enable us to meet these challenges so that we can learn to overcome by trusting in him. However, Satan works to tempt us to believe otherwise. Satan lures us away from a sound confidence in Christ and in the authority and the power of his word. You see, Satan works through our fears, which cripples our faith. It tempts us to doubt the love and the power and the sufficiency of Christ. And whenever this happens, we begin to focus upon the circumstance instead of Jesus Christ. And the result is that quite often we find ourselves floundering, indecisive, making poor choices and decisions, and then having to suffer the consequences of making those sinful choices. So one of Satan's key footholds into our life is through our fears. Now, according to Scripture, we have no immediate response from Jesus to his disciples personally, but rather he saves his words for the wind and the sea. Read verse 39 with me. Here it states, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now, many believe that this was one of the most astounding miracles of Christ, and it was one that had a very tremendous impact upon his disciples, mainly because Jesus controlled the forces of nature by his voice. Those forces that were jeopardizing the very existence of his followers. Now, there was no pomp or circumstances. There was no great prayer. He simply spoke, and the wind and the sea obeyed his voice. But I want you to notice that Christ's power extended not only to the cause of their situation, that is, the wind, but that it also extended to the effect, and that is, the waves. Now remember, it was the waves of the water that had beaten into the ship to the point that it was filling, that is, taking on water and about to sink. Now this teaches us that Christ not only has power over the cause of problems in our life, but that he also has power over the effects of those problems in our life as well. Just as he is able to bring peace and calm to the Sea of Galilee, he is also able to bring peace and calm to the most troubling situations in our life. Now, in saying that, I don't want you to misconstrue what I'm saying. There are times, there are circumstances or issues where certain things are not completely eliminated, but rather we have the peace to deal with those things until some appointed end. And at times, that may be our own physical death. Because each person is different, Christ deals with each of his people in a different way. And so, while there may be circumstances where both the cause and the effects are completely eliminated, sometimes that may not always be the case when it comes to our own storms of life. Now, as a result of this demonstrated power, I want you to notice verse 40. Here it says, "But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Following this incident, Jesus presents two very important questions to his disciples. And these questions are vital for us today. First of all, why are you so fearful? And secondly, how is it that you have no faith? Now, actually, these questions are interrelated, because at the very core, fear is the result of a lack of faith. Fear is the antithesis to faith. You see, one of the greatest enemies to faith is the deception of self-reliance. Often we're afraid to rely upon Christ because we're too busy trying to rely on ourselves. Often we have more faith in what we perceive to be our own abilities than we do in the ability of Jesus Christ. But when it really counts, self-sufficiency just is not able to get us through. Only Christ can meet our needs. So ask yourself, why is it that you are so fearful? And quite often the reason is because we are exercising very little faith. Again, Jesus says, how is it that you have no faith? It is our faith that enables us to overcome our fears. Now, let me say that it's not necessarily wrong in or of itself to be fearful. There are many circumstances that naturally bring fear to us. But as we pointed out, fear is not so much the issue as it is what we do about that fear. If we allow fear to dominate us and to cause us to make inappropriate decisions or responses, then we have sinned. But if we are fearful and yet we can face that fear by trusting and believing in Jesus Christ and therefore overcoming, then we have learned to grow in grace, and we have grown in our relationship with Christ, and we have matured spiritually. Now we come to our third and final point. Because Jesus Christ is sovereign, he deserves our worship and our praise. Look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples' response to this demonstration of Christ's miraculous power made them realize that this Jesus was no ordinary man. Now, I want you to notice that the Scriptures teaches us that they feared. The term feared here comes from the Greek word phobeia, from which we get our English word phobia, which means to fear or to be afraid, or to show reverential fear. Now, here it's given in the passive voice, which means that they received the action of the verb. They were brought to a point of fear. And what was it that called them to fear? To become, I think, both afraid as well as having an overwhelming sense of reverential fear for Jesus Christ. What brought them to this state? Well, it's the fact that they had just witnessed Jesus Christ controlling the elements of nature, simply speaking and bringing the power of the wind and the waves under his control. But not only did they fear, but the Scriptures teaches us that they feared exceedingly, or very intensely. In other words, these disciples did not come away from this incident unscathed. Rather, they were profoundly impacted. And perhaps for the first time, they realized just how fragile and vulnerable they really were in this hostile world. Now, remember, these were very tough, rugged, seasoned fishermen. But yet, in this incident, they were crying like babies. And also, perhaps for the first time, they realized that Jesus was no ordinary man, that he was extremely different from them. Now, as a result of this fear, they ask a very important question. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The King James Version translates this passage as, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, this is actually a question of kind. What kind of person can this be? As one writer indicated, they were attempting to search for a comparison to help them understand what they have just witnessed and therefore deal with it with a sense of reality. But the problem is that there is no one else like Jesus Christ. Jesus is in a category or a class all by himself. There are some who want to lump Jesus Christ in with all other religious teachers as if he was just one more of many so-called religious leaders. But Jesus Christ, again, is in a class all by himself because of who he is. He is God. He is the eternal Son of God. He was born in a very miraculous manner, what we call the incarnation. He lived the perfect life. He gave himself as a sacrifice to die for the sins of his people, and he rose again from the dead. Now, as of yet, I have found no other earthly religious teacher or religious founder that can claim these qualities. So Jesus Christ is absolutely unique. And this particular miracle was part of the many evidences and testations given to confirm his divinity. Again, that he is the Son of God. The fact that he is the Lord of creation. You see, the elements of the wind and sea were simply obeying their Creator's instructions. As a result, I find it strange how we as Christians will accept these types of biblical accounts as true. Oh yes, I believe that Jesus Christ performed miracles, and especially ones like this. But yet, when it comes to the various challenges of our own life, we act as if Christ is less than capable of handling our situations. Now, I believe that occasions involving our own storms of life provide us with unique opportunities to truly gain in our worship of Jesus Christ, that is, in declaring his worth in a theological way and in a very practical way. First of all, it forces us to recognize our own insufficiency. Secondly, it encourages us to recognize the sovereignty of Christ. Thirdly, it provides us with the opportunity to submit to his lordship. When we submit, that is a crucial demonstration that we believe in the teachings of Scripture. Fourthly, it provides us with the opportunity to seek his guidance, where and how he is going to lead. And finally, it provides us with the opportunity to act upon his guidance in faith. So in a very practical way, this brings out our true worship, our true declaration of the worth of Christ. So no Christian should ever allow their life to be led by fear. Rather, our life is to be led by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith, we can face the unknown. By faith, we can face our fears. And by faith, we can declare the worth of Jesus Christ, because he is sovereign. He is God. He is the eternal Son of God. And he has the power to overcome our fears. And he has the power to enable us to worship him as we should. Now, this doesn't mean that we'll never have trying times, but it does mean that we can have the peace that Christ alone can bring. We can have faith. After all, because at the very beginning of this narrative, in verse 35, I believe that it was Jesus' intent all along to get to the other side. Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and he leads us. But there are times when he leads us through difficult circumstances to get to a better ground. So face your fears in faith. Do not be overcome by your storms of life, but overcome and grow closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer.